All right, welcome to the room. We're going to get started here. I hope you can hear me. And we're in the Romans study. We're in chapter 15 of Romans. And chapter 15 displays many, or several, I should say, several confirmations, not so much specific definite statements of the second sending of Paul that he was sent to us too, as well as to the Jews and the Greeks. But it does have confirmations. And a lot of people that don't see that, that don't see two sendings, they do see the second sending, the one in Acts 22, verse 21. But they don't, it's the one to the Jews and the Greeks that they don't see. But they extend the second sending back as if it was the first sending, the one that was prophesied in Deuteronomy 32:21. But I see them as separate. When we go through these verses, I think you will. It's well, let's start with a couple reminders of facts so that no one makes a risky assumption. First of all, when the Bible refers to the word grace, it can mean one of at least three things. The word grace can mean a single occurrence of granting the unmerited favor. Unmerited. The word grace can also be used two other ways related, as the name of a gospel, or it can be used as part of the name of the dispensing of that gospel. And we'll get into that more as we go along. Let's be reminded that Paul never preached for people to start believing the kingdom gospel, or the gospel of the kingdom, the what the little flock believed. He never taught that or went down that route. Also, Paul always preached the same saving message, even under the different signifying names of Gospel of Christ, Gospel of the Uncircumcision, Gospel of the Grace of God. They're all the Gospel of Salvation under different names in different circumstances. The message part is the same. It's the same way to be saved. But he always preached the gospel of salvation as in 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. And even while God sent Paul, as prophesied in Deuteronomy 32, 21, to provoke the apostate synagogue goers by them that are no people, the Greeks, and by a foolish nation, the little flock, Paul was always sent with the unprophesied mystery gospel of Christ from Acts 13 to Acts 19. And after the foundational gospel of God about the identity of Jesus, the name of Jesus, he would preach that gospel of Christ then. Now we're going to read in our travels in Romans. We're down to chapter 15, verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. There's a finality to that statement. It has all, he's done it all. He says, I have fulfilled, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Well, carefully notice this important verse. It only says that the wonders and signs or manifestations of the Spirit were part of the preaching of the gospel of Christ. Upon the completion of Paul's preaching of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek, there was no more authority or power for that kind of signs. And there's no conflict there. There were later signs. Yeah, notice that Paul had other signs that extended beyond the end of the signs or manifestations of the Spirit in Corinth. Compare with me, if you would, this verse we just read, Romans 15:19, with 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 12. First, we'll read Romans 15:19 again. Through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians 12:12, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So Paul also had signs of an apostle. It's not talking about body of Christ signs among the people. Those body of Christ signs were finished with the end of Paul's preaching of the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek during a dispensation of the gospel. Romans 15:19 says he had fully preached it. These particular signs and wonders and mighty deeds were signs of an apostle wrought by Paul among them during and after what prophecy calls the work. I will work a work among you, he said in Habakkuk 1:5, while Paul was dispensing the gospel of Christ. The gospel of Christ was mystery, that's not what it's talking about in Habakkuk 1:5. It's not revealing a mystery back there. It remained a mystery until Christ revealed it to Paul. And we know that there were miracles done after the end of the gospel of Christ. When Paul's sending was widened to all men. Going to all men. He was sent to all men. It doesn't matter who he went to. We know that he was not disobedient to the heavenly calling. But what counts, as far as I can see, what we're looking for is who he was sent to, so we can understand the wording in those Acts epistles and who he's talking to at the time. Is he, you know, am I a Jew and a Greek? I'm not the Jews and the Greeks. But there is mighty wonderful information in there about the mystery that's alongside the information that's to them and calling them, I forget the words, but it's in Romans 4, verse 1. It refers to Abraham as our father. Well, yeah, he's Paul's father. He's the father of the Jews and Greeks that he's talking to, or the Jews anyway. But he's not our father. So those things applied to them, and the mystery part applies to us, but you have to be discerning, is what I'm saying. Paul raised a dead man after the end of the dispensation of the gospel. When he had already been sent, he was sent in Acts 20, verse 6, raised the dead man, raised Eutychus, we'll give him a name, Eutychus, soon after that. I think it was at Troas, wasn't it? Yeah, I think it was Troas. Early in Acts 20, after somewhere between Acts 20 verse 6 and Acts 20 verse 17. I'm going out on a limb there. Give me a second to check that out. Acts. I'm looking in the wrong. I'm looking in the poster, and I need to get the entire Bible in front of me here. Just a second. First day of the week, many lights in the upper chamber, verse 8. sat in the window, a man named Eutychus. Yeah, that's right. Right after he was sent to all people, sailing away from Philippi. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together. This is at Troas. And so, all right, well, let's get back to the lesson. So he did, the point is that he did have signs of an apostle. That's not the conflict there, as if it was an extension of signs and wonders in Corinth by the body of Christ to those Jews on the other side of the wall in their synagogue. That had ended by the time, and you can see that in the difference in the way Paul is sent to apostate Jews before his second sending and the difference after his second sending. Before Paul's second sending to all people, like to us, that was foretold in the temple vision, Paul is never recorded to have stated that he was sent to all the Gentiles. Not before he was sent, okay? Paul did generously state at least five times in at least four of his post-Acts epistles, he stated that now he is sent to all men. And we can see, let me quote the verses so we see they're all, it's super weighted toward toward after his second sending. Those are the only time you find him saying that he was sent to all men. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 4, 10, for therefore we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all men, especially those that believe. Titus 2:11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. Ephesians 3:9, great verses here. But, you know, that's an element of it, that it's great because it's to us. And to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ. One more, 2 Timothy 4:17. This is really a clincher. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. One of the deliverances of Paul. All the Gentiles. That includes not only the Jews and the Greeks, which were included in Galatians 3:28, but it also includes the alien barbarians and Scythians who are included in the list after his second sending in Colossians 3:11. So that now it would include not only the Greeks, when you look in Acts chapter 14, the first two verses gives you four types of people: believing Jews, disbelieving Jews, believing Gentiles, disbelieving Gentiles. By the way, the believing Gentiles are called Greeks. But there in 14:1, you've got the Greeks. In 14:2, you've got the Gentiles and all the city. They would, after Paul was sent to all men in Acts 20, they would be included in his target audience, but not when he went there in Acts 14. Same thing in Acts 17 at Thessalonica, chapter 17, verse 4. He went and he preached to the Jews and the Greeks. But chapter 17, verse 5, it would be the Gentiles and all the city in an uproar. He didn't preach to them. the way to be saved. He, you know, but after he was sent to all people in Acts 20, then he would have, if it had happened then, he would have been sent to those type of people. Not that he, I'm not, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he went back and he preached to them. We find 11 mentions of the gospel of Christ being preached before Paul's temple vision. And there's only one time afterwards. Well, there's one time in Acts 20:24, and another time it's similar in Colossians 1, verses 4 to 6. Additionally, and now I'm giving confirming evidence that there was a second sending. Okay, these all point to that fact. Nothing that we can find points the other direction that there was no second sending. So it's all positive. Only after Paul's temple vision do we have at least five mentions. Those five verses we read of all the Gentiles. So altogether, when you take it together, that's stark contextual evidence of at least two distinct sendings of Paul by Jesus Christ. By the Spirit, Christ first sent Paul with the gospel of Christ to the Jew first and also to the Greek in Acts 13, verses 1 through 4. Then secondly, Christ sent Paul with the gospel of the grace of God to the far-off Gentiles in Acts 20, verse 6, is when he sent him, according to Philippians 4:15. According to, they were far-off Gentiles, according to Ephesians 2, verse 13 and verse 17. And the sending was Acts 22, verse 17 to 21. And 22 shows that it was different than the previous sending. In other words, the apostate Jews running the synagogues were okay with the Gentiles as long as they were the Greeks, bringing their tithes and offerings and blessing Israel. But as soon as it was the cursed alien Gentiles, they threw a fit in Acts 22:22 and following verses. So that proves also that there was a difference in the sending. Both the gospel of Christ and the gospel of the grace of God are the same saving message that we've gone through in 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, but they had different recipients, different audiences, and so different names of the gospel. In the second half of Romans 15, verse 19, Paul makes a significant statement. I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Having fully preached the gospel of Christ, there's nothing more to do there. Paul had fulfilled his mission as much as had been committed to him up to that time. So we see the completion of Paul's first sending. And there's an echo of it starting in Acts 20, verse 17 through about verse 21. He recounts what he had been doing before Acts 20. Paul had written Acts, written the book, I call it a book, it was an epistle at the time of Romans. He wrote that most probably in Acts 20, verse 3. And we know from Philippians 4, 15, and 16 that in Acts 20, verse 6, three verses later, Paul had been sent to all men with the gospel of salvation, the mystery gospel of the grace of God. Not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, prophesied as the work or a work, but now in a mystery to all Gentiles. Look at the three verses that show when he started that. Philippians 4:15. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, That's when the beginning of the gospel was. He's saying it was when he departed from Macedonia. No church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only, you Philippians from Philippi. And then the second of the three verses is Acts 20, verse 6. And we sailed away from Philippi, which is, well, we'll get to that in the third verse. Sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to Troas in 5 days, where we abode 7 days. And then thirdly, Acts 16, 12. And from thence to Philippi, that's where he said he sailed away from, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia. So he was departing from Macedonia when he sailed away from Philippi in a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So that's those three verses. But those verses show that in Acts 20, verse 6, Paul had been sent to go to all men with the gospel of salvation, not just to the Jew first and also to the Greek, as in God's earlier sending, but starting then, sent to all the Gentiles. The gospel of salvation, which had earlier been called the gospel of Christ, started being called the gospel of the grace of God because of the conditions that had changed. The recipients, the audience, it included preaching the same saving message, but now to all people. So by the time of a few verses later, here in Acts 20, verse 17, after he had started sailing away from Philippi, Macedonia, and gone to Troas, and then to Miletus, it says, and from Miletus he sent to Ephesus, and called the elders of the church that had been appointed. God had Paul appoint elders in every church, remember? That was in preparation for sending the food to the church, in the starving church in Jerusalem. And he called the elders down for this, down to Miletus. Miletus was closer to the sea docks than Ephesus. He was going on a boat cruise. What would you call it? A sailing ship or ship, merchant ship, I guess. But it was down by the coast, Miletus, or nearer to the coast. And he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. Now, that would be the Jew and Greek church still at that time in Ephesus, and had first been established in Ephesus in Acts 19, verses 9 and 10. It was not to the church that Paul later wrote to after the end of Acts in the epistle that we call Ephesians. Not to that group of people, it wasn't said. It was to the Acts group. Notice that in Acts 19, verse 10, Paul tells exactly who the recipients of that gospel at that time were. He says both Jews and Greeks. And there's no mention of alien Gentiles or of all the Gentiles. In fact, Paul's use of the word both indicates that by the time the word of the Lord Jesus had been sent only, by the time he preached it, let me start that sentence over. Paul's use of the word both indicates that by the time the word of the Lord Jesus had been sent to the Jews and the Greeks, he had finished it, and there was this turning point here in Acts 20, where he stopped being sent just to the Jews and the Greeks, and he started being sent to all men, including Jews and Greeks, Arabs, Spaniards, you know, Italians, whatever. Look at verse 10, Acts 19:10, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all they that dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So that both Jews and Greeks is what Paul meant by all they which dwell in Asia. The Jews and the Greeks were the they. All they which dwell in Asia. Acts 20 verses 18 to 23 needs to be taken as a unit when reading it or studying it. This is to the people of Ephesus in Acts 18 and 19 that he called for the elders of that church to come down to Miletus and said, here's what he said to them at Miletus, Acts 20 verse 18, verse 20 and verse 21. Summary of what he had been doing before Acts 20. You know, from the first day I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you. But I'm going to come back to that. But have showed you and have taught you publicly from house to house, testifying both to the Jew and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God, that involves recognizing who God is and who he sent. It's the gospel of God, in other words. And, testifying both to the Jews and the Greeks, and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That would be the gospel of Christ, believing, having faith that he died for our sins. But back there in verse 20, Acts 20:20, sounds like the year, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable. Okay, so there might have been some stuff that he kept back that wasn't profitable to the Jews and the Greeks. Unto you, he says, specifically to those that he was writing to, the elders in that Jew and Greek church. So that, to me, could mean, and I think it does, he's talking about the end of the dispensation of the gospel of Christ, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. That's a reference to that, or an allusion to it at least, I believe. Okay? Notice how he points out that ever since his initial contact with them until the time he's stating that, he has taught them all that was profitable to the Jews and the Greeks. But in Acts 20, verses 22 to 25, that continuation stops. He does not know what befalls him, what's going to happen in Jerusalem, other than bonds and afflictions. He says, and now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. So Paul paints a picture of cessation of his former sending. The Acts 13:3 human part of his sending with the mystery of the gospel. The gospel of Christ was a mystery. It was revealed to Paul. It had already ended by the time he's saying these things in Acts 20. It ended in Acts 14, verse 26, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. So the work part that was prophesied in Habakkuk 1:5, the work part that they were sent on by the three men, well, five men we could say probably. It was five prophets and teachers, I think it was, in Acts 13:1, and two of them were sent, the other three sent them in verse 3. Let me get that up. 13:1 names them. Now there were in the church in Antioch, trying to do two things at once, There were in the church that was at Antioch certain prophets and teachers, and it names them as Barnabas and Simeon, that was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manion, which had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So there's the five names. Barnabas and Saul get sent by Simeon, Lucius, and Manion. Okay, but that occurs. Well, let me put all the verses there, and we'll get to where they get sent. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, "Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." So they were. There's the link. A link between Habakkuk 1:5 and Acts 13. This is why I say that part of what he was doing was he wasn't prophesied. The link is that Barnabas and Saul for the work whereunto I have called them. Nowhere in Habakkuk 5 or Habakkuk or the Old Testament is this gospel of Christ hinted at, even that non-Jews would be saved, and that they would be saved by faith without works. That's all mystery. That's all surprise. When Paul sees Jesus trembling and astonished, and he finds out that he's not dead, that he not dead like Ananias and Sapphira, but that he's saved. Anyway, let's look at the next verse. So you've got those five men sending out two of them, and it says, "And when they had fasted and prayed, they would be that five, a group of five, fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they, those five men, sent Paul and Barnabas away." So that's the human sending. Okay? That sending ended in Acts 14:26. I should read it again. Let me put it up there. "And from thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended," we just read the recommendation, "to the grace of God for the work." There's another reference to the work, "which they fulfilled." So the work is done with. They're not doing the work anymore after Acts 14:26. Well, was Paul without a commission, without ascending, without the call of God during, from Acts 14:26 to Acts 20, verse 6? No, I don't believe he was. When you look again at Acts 13, 1 to 4, we read 4, that the men sent Paul and Barnabas away. So they, Paul and Barnabas, being sent forth by the Holy Ghost, that's ascending there. That sending didn't end in Acts 14:26. "They being sent forth by the Holy Ghost departed unto Seleucia, and from thence they sailed to Cyprus." So that human sending is what I was talking about here. The Acts 13:3 human part of his sending with the mystery gospel of Christ had ended in Acts 14:26. In Acts 13:3, it was the people from Acts 13:1, those prophets and teachers, that sent them away, and that sending ended in Acts 14:26. In Acts 13:4, it was the Holy Ghost from Acts 13:2 that sent them forth, which sending was being changed to the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God. So there's the link there. Paul was saying that the Acts 13:4 Holy Ghost's sending with the mystery gospel of Christ was being replaced with the Philippians 4:15 mystery beginning of the gospel of the grace of God being sent to all men. The gospel of the grace of God that Philippians 4:15 revealed was beginning. And it has the same saving message as the gospel of Christ that Paul had preached to the prophesied Jews and Greeks in the apostate Jewish synagogues. I say it was prophesied because that was part of the work in Habakkuk 1:5, but it was, without naming them, it describes the Jews and the Greeks in Deuteronomy 32, verse 21, as being what the Lord would send. He would provoke Israel, and you get that again in Romans 11:11, that they were sent to the Gentiles that would be able to provoke Israel to jealousy. Notice in Acts 20:21, it reflects the continuation up to that time of Paul's manner, his mode of operation, what he did, of presenting the gospel of God first before he preached to them the gospel of Christ. And to the Jew, gospel of Christ being to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And that term, the Jew first, also includes, it includes all the Jews, both converted little flock believing Jews and apostate unbelieving Jews. The term also to the Greek, the other part of that phrase, also to the Greek, it includes all of the few Gentiles that both feared God and blessed God's people, Israel. The Greeks were not a nationality. They were a particular condition of Gentiles. They believed God's promise to bless them for blessing Israel. Genesis 12:3 and Mark 7:26. The Greeks are referred to without name in Deuteronomy 32:21 as those which are not a people. And again, they're referred to in Romans 10:19 as them that are no people. They're referred to again in Acts 10:2, verse 2 and verse 22 in regard to Cornelius as one that feared God, which gave much alms to the people, and one that feared God and of good report among all the nation of the Jews. Good descriptions of the Greeks. One major difference, this is important here and not talked about enough, I don't think, but one major difference between Paul's first sending and his second sending was the reversal of his treatment of the apostate Jews. Included both the apostate Jews. This would be in his first sending. He included both the apostate Jews and God-fearing Gentiles and Greeks, but he excluded converted little flock believers. That would be Paul's first sending. In other words, he didn't go to preach the gospel of Christ to the little flock, the believers, Peter, James, John, you know, the church in Jerusalem. He didn't, in fact, at Romans 15:20, he tried to avoid doing that. Okay, that's the first sending. The second sending, in Paul's second sending, it excluded the apostate Jews instead of including them. But it included the Gentiles, both God-fearing and alien Gentiles that Paul went to in the second sending. Christ first sent Paul particularly including apostate Jews and others. And some of the verses, Acts 13:26 and 46. Men and brethren, children of the stock of Abraham, and whosoever among you feareth God, to you is the word of this salvation sent. Then Paul and Barnabas waxed bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken to you. But seeing you put it from you, and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. And Paul was referring to the Gentiles of verse 26 that we read at first. Children of the stock of Abraham, whether they were believing or not. Just a second. First Corinthians 9:17. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. Verse 18. Next verse. What is my reward then? Verily, that when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. So Christ, secondly, sent Paul, particularly excluding apostate Jews. And you can see that in Acts 18 and Acts 28. Acts 18:4, and he reasoned in the synagogues every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Verse 6, and when Acts 18, verse 6, and when they opposed themselves and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, your blood be on your upon your own heads. I am clean. From henceforth I will go unto the Gentiles. Separation there from Israel. Acts 28:16, saying, go unto this people and say, hearing you shall hear not, and shall not, excuse me, hearing you shall hear and shall not understand, seeing you shall see and not perceive. For the heart of this people is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and should be converted. That's what conversion is. And I should heal them. And Acts 28:28, then be it known therefore unto you that the salvation of God is sent unto the Gentiles, and that they will hear it. So there's an excluding of the Jews, especially the disbelieving Jews that would not receive it. We can see at least two things in Paul's summary usage of the words repentance and faith in Acts 20:21. Paul was testifying to the Jews and also to the Greeks repentance toward God, changing their minds from false gods and idols, and from rejecting Jesus Christ's resurrection to believing Jesus Christ's resurrection and his sonship, Son of God. That's the first thing. The second thing, the faith it talks about in Acts 20:21, Paul testified that they exercise faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ, trusting that he died for all their sins. Paul had been preaching the mystery of Christ, not the gospel of fallen Israel. Those are indirect references. First, the word repentance is an allusion to the gospel of God, to change your mind toward the identity of the risen Son of God. And secondly, the word faith in that verse in Acts 20:21 is an allusion to the gospel of Christ. Faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ through the gospel of Christ. And again, the verse Acts 20:21, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Three verses later, he introduces to them his sending to the ministry I have received of the Lord to testify the gospel of the grace of God. That would be the second, the group that he sent to. The group. I don't know if you can call it a group. It's the rest of us. In other words, it's all of us, all people that he was sent to at that point. And we find out that it was these Acts 20 verses 17 to 20 to 38. Acts 20 verses 17, when they were called to 38. Verse 38, the Jews and the Greeks to whom Paul had testified the gospel of God and then the gospel of Christ as late as Acts 19, verse 10, in Ephesus, the first group there that there were Jews and Greeks. Until that time, Paul's sending had been to the Jews and the Greeks, according to Deuteronomy 32:21. And according to the second half of Romans 11:11, and according to the first half of Acts 26:17. It's crucial to understand that those verses are not saying or talking about all the Gentiles. They're the Gentiles that would provoke Israel to jealousy. Paul had not yet been sent to all men as of Acts. Well, the sending that he tells about, that's in Acts 22, verse 17 to 21. That's where he tells about it. And we see in Acts 20, verses 18 to 22, Luke reports that Paul was telling about what he had been doing up until the time before he was sent to all men. So those verses we were concentrating on were about his first sending that was ending, and he was introducing the change in Acts 20. Let's stop there. I'm done with this lesson, and we'll try to pick up the next lesson tomorrow.